looking for answers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this Thursday morning. The panel set up to investigate the causes of the financial crisis gets down to business today. The 10-member Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission is holding its first meeting, and Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Former California Treasurer Phil Angelides leads this bipartisan group. It's modeled after the 9/11 Commission, with a budget of $5 million and the power to subpoena witnesses and documents. The group's findings are due in December of next year. The Obama administration hopes Congress will have passed new financial regulations by then. The panel has roots in the PCORA Commission, created after the stock market crash of 1929. Its findings led to the 1930s securities laws, including the Glass-Steagall Act. It separated investment banks from commercial banks, but was repealed 10 years ago. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Today, we're expecting word the Obama administration is shelving many components of a multi-billion-dollar European missile defense plan that's been a major sticking point with Russia. The decision comes as the U.S. seeks closer ties with Moscow. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev will be in the United States next week. He'll be in New York at the U.N. General Assembly and at the Group of 20 Nations Economic Summit in Pittsburgh. Markets keep continuing to climb. European shares are higher right now for the most part, generally under 1%. In Asia today, stocks rose across the board, Hang Seng and Nikkei by about 1.5% or more. Chinese shares shot up 2% today. Yesterday here at home, well, markets were on another buying kick. The S&P and NASDAQ added 1.5%. The Dow tacked on 108 points to close at 97.91. Internet and technology companies all know China tries to control the internet. Well, this summer, one of the government's latest attempts there to filter online content met industry resistance, public complaints, and now non-compliance. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The filtering software is called Green Dam, but it leaks. The Chinese government requires internet cafes to install it, but we visited three that never heard of Green Dam. Chinese schools should also use it, but many are reportedly uninstalling the program. It crashes their computers and conflicts with other programs. And web users mock the filter for its crude anti-porn function. It blocks images with colors that look like human skin, like photos of pigs.
The first strike was basically a very blunt and non-sophisticated way of approaching the internet.
Internet gaming executive Frank Yu. He says it's just a matter of time before the regulatory empire strikes back.
For people to say that they can fight it is wishful thinking. As long as the government controls basically the pipes and the entry points, they actually have the ability and also the legal rights to do what they wish about their internet.
That's the reality for American PC and internet companies who come to China. Yu thinks they may eventually be asked to help the government track Chinese users' identities. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
More pressure on Bank of America this morning. New York's Attorney General Andrew Cuomo has subpoenaed five current or former directors at the bank. He did that yesterday. He wants to know what the men knew last year about the problems at Merrill Lynch as the companies were about to merge.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. By Monsanto, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields without increasing demands on natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com. And by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
As part of our series, The Cure, this week, we've been looking at some of the biggest stakeholders in the proposed healthcare overhaul. Today, we turn to hospitals. Part of the money to pay for the healthcare overhaul is supposed to come from cuts in Medicare and Medicaid spending. Hospitals that treat large numbers of low-income patients say those cuts might hurt them the most. Joel Rose reports.
It's a fairly quiet morning in the emergency room at Temple University Hospital in North Philadelphia.
Yeah, nobody knows anything about the patient coming to us.
Temple is what's known as a safety net hospital. Roughly 80% of its patients are covered by Medicaid or Medicare. Because safety net hospitals see so many low-income patients, they currently get extra funding from the government, money that could dry up if proposed Medicare and Medicaid cuts become reality under health care reform, says Temple Hospital CEO Sandy Gomberg.
What makes this debate the toughest that we faced in a really long time is that there is no easy consensus that's going to make this work. There will be winners and there will be losers.
Gomberg says safety net hospitals like hers stand to lose more than most. The White House plans to trim $155 billion in Medicare and Medicaid payments to hospitals. That's supposed to help cover the cost of insuring nearly all Americans. In theory, hospitals would win because more patients could pay their bills. But the most vulnerable hospitals could lose, says Andrew Wigglesworth, a hospital consultant with TRG Associates.
Operating margins are razor thin. If there were cuts without the corresponding increases in terms of access and coverage, it would create a disaster.
That's what worries Temple's Sandy Gomberg. Many of her patients are undocumented immigrants or the working poor. Gomberg says they may have trouble finding affordable insurance even if Congress does pass a health care bill, and her hospital will still need to treat them. So without some additional money, Gomberg says she'd have no choice but to cut services and staff.
The waiting line's going to get longer. It'll be longer for people to get to specialists. It's going to be longer for people to wait to get in to see the doctor in the ER.
If that happens, Gomberg says her patients will be the real losers. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Finally, Sarah Gaspar says she thought the tip was a bit much, but not so much that it stopped her from taking the $29,000 she got from the University of Notre Dame to buy a car and pay off bills. Gaspar used to cater events for the school and thought the large tip was a case of extreme generosity. The university says it was a clerical mistake. She was supposed to get $29, and the school's suing her to get the money back, saying she didn't call them about the error. Gaspar says she did three times, but couldn't reach anybody about the mistake. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.